One of the main reasons for selecting wearables for this month's Technori theme is simply that for years I feel like I've been told wearables is the next big thing, and year after year, dud after dud, nada. But now I think is the real time, I really do. I think it's coming, and so to kind of help explain why this time wearables is really coming, I've invited upcoming Technori presenter, GeoBit, and its CMO, Lindsay Slutsky. I'm Scott Catoon, and this is Technori Live. Welcome to the show, Lindsay.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Well, thank you guys for participating in Technori this month to begin with. I know it's I'm very excited about it, and we're going to announce our keynote sometime this week. We got a little bit of a mix up with dates and stuff, so I'm trying to make sure that this is still
awesome.
Real.
We're excited.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
So before we get into sort of GeoBit and what it does and how it's different, sort of what, how did, you know, we were just talking about this off air. This is like one of those environments. Chicago's ecosystem is so, I don't want to say like it's just bubbling, but it's, there's so many things going on that people are bouncing from company to company. We just had, you know, there was a story, Chicago Innocent on today about sort of interviewed some professors at Northwestern and at Chicago talking about the layoffs and things that are going on.
Yep.
And some of it's good and some of it's, of course, not good. But one thing that is interesting that certainly happens and may be the case here is that these entrepreneurs are getting a chance to work at a startup. And when there are layoffs, they just turn around and start their own thing, or they go to another startup that's maybe a little bit less built up, and they have the opportunity to use what they learned the first time around and around. And it looks like, you know, you guys are kind of that same situation.
Well, that's, I mean, you said it really. I mean, there's entrepreneurs, people who have been from big companies, layoffs are happening. And then you take that experience with you, all that knowledge, you've got ideas and the experience, and it's time to go start your own thing. So I think it's great. I mean, the Chicago startup scene is just so up and coming, and I think that there's just so much more and so much more opportunity for it to go.
Oh, it's, I think we're on a, there's a couple little pivots I think we're going to be making in the next year-ish, which in startup world is like a decade.
Yeah.
That have a unique place to put Chicago on the, we're already the third fastest growing, but that's still kind of like a, like an FU term, like third fastest growing. It's like, oh, that's great, little kid, you
right.
know, whatever. But where we could actually be on par with the Silicon Valleys and the New Yorks of the world in our own area.
Right.
So I think it's going to be pretty cool. As far as your background, as a CMO of GeoBit, have you been working as in the marketing area for startups and all kinds of companies, or has it been big
corp?
My
background, I was from Motorola. I was there for 10 years. A lot of us on the Geo team are.
Yeah.
You know, and we've all, you know, been impacted in different ways coming from Motorola. Some of us left on our own. Some of us were impacted by layoffs. But we've all kind of joined forces here. After Motorola, I actually was at a different startup, a wearable startup as well. So I've got, you know, a wealth of experience when it comes to product launch, wearables, and then this wearable in particular happens to be a wearable for children. And I'm a mom of four. I have four boys. So this is near and dear to my heart. Definitely something that I'm 100% getting behind. So when the opportunity came calling, it was really a no-brainer for me.
This is one of the examples. I mean, you are an example of what we're looking for in the companies in Technori, not just on the show, but also on the show, on the showcase, is a background of people who have worked at not just, I mean, obviously you want people who are entrepreneurs, and they usually have a short shelf life at large companies for a lot of reasons.
Right.
But I think it's vital that successful entrepreneurs, I would say if I were to look at the ones that have come on a show and been very successful or on the stage, they have some experience working at very, very successful, very, very large recognizable brands where they get to see how the job is done right the first time. And then after that, if I could give you a ton of capital, like this is what you could do with it. And then you have the idea in your head, like, all right, now we have to scale that back. All right, what are the most important things to do? And it seems like that's, you know, kind of
your forte. Well, there's pluses, you know, there's benefits, and then there's obviously, you know, challenges that come along with that, because you come from a big company mindset and you've got big budgets, and then you need to pivot and then, you know, learn how to work with almost nothing.
Yep.
But yeah, it really gives you that, like, you know, that breadth of, you know, doing something very large scale, doing something very small scale, and it just brings all that experience with you.
I think it's important. Like I said before, I think having someone who's been on both sides is important, particularly for me on the show, because I think it gives everyone else an opportunity who's working in regular job to be like, oh, you mean I don't have to do this? I mean, you're going to, you know, eat ramen for a little bit, but it's not the worst thing.
Yeah, the first startup that I was at, my boss told me that I needed to forget everything I ever knew from a large company and basically start over. So
Except for the contact list and some of the strategy.
Right, right.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, like you said, there's positives and negatives to it. I personally think that there is a lot to be gained from the culture part of the big companies is definitely a need to be forgotten. And
for
the,
sure.
The comfortable spending maybe is also need to be forgotten. But I think that there's a lot to be learned from working with large companies.
Yep.
So as we pivot now and start talking about GeoBit and what you guys are doing, why don't you kind of walk the audience through what GeoBit is?
Sure.
And then we're going to, having had you worked at two different wearables, including GeoBit, walk why we think wearables is maybe finally going to be the real deal.
So GeoBit is a wearable location tracker for kids. It is extremely tiny. So we, well, let me start back by just saying, I'm a parent. Several of us on the team are parents. Our founder, John Rinaldi, is also a parent. So we have experienced this problem of losing our kids in crowds. Our kids wander off. Parents are very busy. I consider myself a very good mom, but it still happens to me. So even the best of parents, the most hovering parents.
I still haven't found my parents. I don't know. I'm still wandering around. That's what this is all about.
I mean, nobody is immune to this kind of thing happening. And we've done a lot of research. We know that of all the parents that we've talked to, and we've got a sample size of a couple hundred, over 50% of them have experienced this panic of losing your kid in a crowd. And even a greater percent of those have had it happen more than just one time.
This is real. Like, so just
this
to give context, this is real. This actually, I was joking before. I mean, I have found my parents.
Yeah.
But this happened to me twice. My mom, and here's the funny part, and this is why I think this is a product that is super, super cool and usable.
Yeah.
My mom always had this rule, like, so if we're at the pool, if we lose you at the pool, that's a dangerous place, obviously, at the pool. But if you lose your kid in the area of the pool, make sure you go back to the car. We know where the car is at. That's where we meet at. And, of course, as soon as I was gone, she forgot about all that. And she was in panic mode, just like scouring the pool, looking for me at the bottom
the
of it. You know what I mean? And I'm just chilling in the car for like an hour. And then it happened again to us when we were in the shopping center. It was like, oh, go to the concierge desk where you would call, you know, just call for anybody. And again, she freaked out.
Yeah.
And didn't go there. And I'm just like standing there waiting around like, you know, what do we do? And I think that this is a problem that people sort of, you read about and you hear about and you think about, but I don't think you actually think it happens to you, but it does happen.
It happens. We did not do this study, but there was a study done that said 1,000 kids per day are separated from a parent or caregiver for over an hour. An hour.
That's crazy.
Think about the panic of a parent who's looking for their kid who's probably just wandered off.
Ask my mom.
So, you know, as we start to learn about this, we realized, you know, there's got to be a way to solve this. We are tech people. We looked for other solutions that are on the market. As a mom, I've looked for other things that could possibly be used to solve this problem. Any kind of wearable for children is wrist-based.
Yep.
So it's a big, bulky watch. Battery life is a real issue. They don't last for more than a day. So talking about a kid-friendly device, a wristwatch that's bulky, that's not going to last very long.
It's going to break almost immediately because kids are playing in dirt and wrapping their hands.
So that was a real opportunity for us. So GeoBit is tiny. It's really meant to blend into, you know, things that you're normally wearing. So on your, you know, pants or in a pocket or on a shoe, something that it's not going to be intrusive for the kids, not going to interfere with a kid being a kid. It's going to survive, you know, the demands of a kid, so it's waterproof. And then battery life, we've got up to 2 weeks of battery life. So the product operates on a platform of low power sensors and technologies that allows for this super small form factor, but insanely great battery life.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I guess, why do you think, and I had in my mind, I already kind of know what I think the answer to this question is, but why do you think GeoBit is positioned to be successful now versus if you launched it 5 years ago?
Well, now it's really an interesting time. So millennials are starting to become parents.
Yep.
Millennials expect that technology is going to solve almost every problem that they have. So that's a really big opportunity.
We've been crushing millennials this week here, but what are you going to do?
Right. Well, I mean, millennials, it's a huge buying segment, right? So, and then there's millennial moms who are making these purchase decisions, and they're looking for, you know, technology to solve their real problems. So I think now we have that opportunity as millennials are, you know, coming of age and becoming parents.
I think, yeah. So like to kind of touch on that, I think the major part is that now as the buyer, right, as the millennial shopper,
right,
we have expectations of what we're going to get versus the market before was more of pushing you and sort of saying like, hey, you know, you should try this. And it's like, I don't have any, you know, I know where my kids are. I don't need this sort of thing. We've got this leash that we tie to our kid and it works wonderfully.
Right.
And so you had to explain to them all these things. And in their mind, it just didn't seem like a worthwhile venture. And now I think that there's an expectation, right, as you said.
Right.
And then the other part of this that I think is why I've been in this sort of tech space and I've always been fascinated by it. So in my mind, I always was just judging the technology and always wanted to use it. But if you go back three years, the tab wouldn't have been as small, wouldn't have as nanotech as it needs to be. The battery life probably wouldn't have been nearly as good. There's all kinds of technical complications that have made it to where, you know, wearables essentially were like wired in shirts and you just like plug it into a wall. And there was just so many stupid things that just cool in concept, but just not, the technology wasn't there yet. And I think now we're finally starting to get to where you can create things like Jiobit that is tiny and durable and lasts a long time and not a hindrance.
Right. Because if the kid's not going to wear it, or if whoever it is, whoever the target is not going to wear it, then it's not useful.
Well, yeah. And that's sort of to your original point in this all, which is that if you have to shape their behavior, then the likelihood is it not probably going to work. But if their behavior is already set to expect, then all my job is as the maker of Jiobit is to make sure that I build what they expect.
Yes.
And then some. And it seems like you guys are doing that.
Right.
So what would you say are the, obviously you mentioned that it goes on the kids' shirts and things like that. This seems like something that could clearly turn into a line of different products and different use cases and different things. Where do you see Jiobit going in the very, not even too far off, just in the next year or two after you guys start?
I mean, in the next year or two, right now we are laser focused on this one particular market, this one particular use case. We need to get it right. Kids, it's an important market. If we can nail this market.
And
if
they're challenging.
If we can nail this buyer, which is, you know, parents, you know, then I think that we've got something there. But like you said, if you can think of other use cases and verticals that would benefit from small form factors with incredible battery life, I mean, really the opportunities are there,
right? Yeah, for sure.
We recognize that. We know that. But we also know that to be successful, we need to stay focused on what it is that we're doing right in the now. And that's what we intend to do for now. You know, so for the next 2 years, that's what you'll see. It's going to be Jiobit is a
And people are going to learn more about this when they come to Technori this month, which they can actually have a chance to see the mission. This is more about what the company does and stuff. But you guys have, you know, the ability to talk about the mission and the technology and the things that we don't have time for today.
Yes.
But there's one other thing about wearables in general that I think is interesting. And I think it's probably right up your alley as well, is the fact that unlike most technology pieces, which, you know, you look at like your phone, I mean, there's all kinds of different pieces of technology within the phone, but it's an Apple iPhone and the marketing and the tech and everything, it's all bound into one. It's Apple.
Yep.
With wearables, because it is so, it's almost, I don't want to say it's ubiquitous, but because there's so much stuff and there's just so much application and you could get focused and lost in a million areas before you even get out the door, is that an Under Armour or a Nike, they can have a factory and then they've got their sort of, what is it? Nike calls it Mission Control or something, where they, you know, in Oregon, where they actually work on creating new technology, but they never put that technology in their stuff. They end up finding companies like Jiobit and have you build it the way that they want it,
right,
in a production ready quickly. And then they put that in their stuff.
Yeah.
What is interesting to me about wearables is you can design an item. Rhythmio is another example of this, who's also presenting, creating a technology piece that is, in a lot of cases, would never be sold directly to the market or to the public. It would be sold to a large company who's already got the people buying their product, and they can just put it in there, and it's just either a value add or it's an upsell or whatever it is. Do you see Jiobit being, you know, as you mentioned, I'm sure it's going to get smaller. The tab will get smaller.
Definitely.
Do you see this being something where it's like, hey, we reach out to the, you know, children's shoemakers or children's clothing makers and say, why don't we put the Jiobit into the clothing piece? And then as far as the battery life goes, it's easy to either, you know, set on a magnet, or it's, you know, however you want to do it.
Yeah, that's not out of the question. I mean, we've definitely thought about that. We've thought about those types of partnerships. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying about what other use cases does this enable. So same thing there. I mean, whether it's kids or a different vertical, or it's, you know, seniors, you know, people with disabilities, other things, definitely we see it going there for sure. And and we've had lots of conversations like that.
I mean, I was going
to
say,
you're not the first one to bring that up. Yeah. In fact, every meeting that we have, there, you know, people's minds.
Damn it!
Just
I thought
going.
I was original and I was going to like come up with some cool conversation, and here you tell me, nah. Literally every person we've ever talked to brought that up. You're not.
You did
smart.
It in such a more eloquent way, though.
Thank you so much. I feel much better about it now. I guess the point I'm trying to make though is it is very fascinating because unlike. Yeah. A lot of the tech where I really do think that you guys are fortunate in this, the wearable is tough, but there's some fortune in it in that the average tech company, I feel like, is out on an island. They're out trying to tell the world, listen, we're trying to build this thing. It might disrupt you. It might not. Here's how it could help you. Here's how it could hurt you. And we're trying to find partnerships and help. And it's hard to find that. And in a wearable space, because it's so obvious, if done right, That's a big if things are done right. It's so obvious to a company like an Under Armour or Nike that if they could somehow put a little bit of money or capital or even just give you reports and give you information, data, and things like that to help you build a better product, that there is that opportunity to partner up and maybe not have to be out on an island from the beginning.
For sure. And where we really benefit, like I said, we're a team of former Motorolans, yeah, some truly rock star engineers.
Yeah.
So when startups try to go out and build a hardware product, you always hear hardware is hard. That's because a lot of people don't really know how to build a hardware product.
Yep.
And we know how to build hardware. So
well,
we know
that's
how
one thing Motorola knows
how
to do. They definitely know how to build out hardware. Very cool.
Right.
Where do people go to? Can they buy the product now? Is it available?
So we will be making it available for pre-sale in the fall.
Okay.
Right now, we're encouraging everyone to go to our website, geobit.com. That's J-I-O-B-I-T. And they can sign up for our email list, because when we do open for pre-sale, we will be offering big discounts. Join our subscriber list, and we'll send you updates and details and let you know when it's available.
Very cool. I'm excited to have you guys at Technoria this month.
Yeah,
we're
going
to have
wait.
An awesome, awesome showcase of talent.
Awesome.
It's going to be great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lindsay, for coming. You can see more from Geobit and on the other amazing Technoria presenters by going to technoria.com to get your tickets using the promo code WGN. Showcases Tuesday, August 30th at Chase Auditorium from 6 to 8 p.m. Don't be late. You can stream this episode and more on WGNBusiness.com or download each episode on iTunes and stay up to date by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technoria, or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.